are holding on Chof Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. We're going to learn about more things that are Chayav Malchus. Until now, we've been talking about things involving eating or Tumah V'Tahara or whatever. Now, on to other topics. Mishnah says, various things similar to that. Yeah, various things having to do with the body. Hakereach Kocha Barosha. If somebody makes a bald spot on his head in mourning for a dead person, whatever, as we'll hear tomorrow.
We
learned about it briefly in Nazir, because we learned about it in connection with Nazir, and we pointed out the general din that applies it to other people as well. Hakereach Kocha Barosha. Somebody who makes a bald spot on his head because of a mess. Bamakif Pasla. Show you somebody who. Yeah, well, specifically for a mess, we'll see in the Gemara.
What do
meaning of it? No, what tears out or otherwise makes a bald spot on his head, right? Bamakif Pasla, somebody who rounds the corners of his head, meaning, so you have like this, you have your hairline is up to here when on your forehead, and it's up to here above your ear. So if you cut off your payas, then you're making it that it's now a circular thing all around, exactly.
Just above
Bamakif Pasla means specifically cutting off the payas. From that line and downward.
And
how far down, by the way? Most of the Rishonim say it's up until the jawbone, so about here. So it would be from here to here.
You draw just a tiny circle all around without going down.
No. Okay, you're not understanding. You have hair growing up to here, here. You have hair growing up to here, here. If you cut off the payas, meaning you cut from here downward,
right,
then you're making it that now you have a straight line from front to back. That you're not allowed to have.
Okay, but if you just cut without going down.
What do you mean you just cut without going down? Is there still a payah going down?
Yes.
Okay, how far down? According to the Rivan on our Gemara, apparently it has to be all the way down to the bottom of your ear, till about here.
Yes, according to most of the other Rishonim,
you need it to be up to here. You also have a certain minimum width that Amman says 40 hairs. So you have to have, in other words, that. There shouldn't be a straight line across, there should be a payah, and the payah has to extend down and across a certain extent.
Some are on here, some are all over.
Yeah.
Some over here.
What?
Over there.
What?
Pay is up there.
Hey, no, that's a minute, that's not, sorry. Okay, v'hamash has passed the corner, or somebody who destroys the corners of his beard, which we'll see in the Gemara what the corners are. Or somebody who makes one gash in his skin for a mess. All of those things, chayav. All those things, he's chayav malchus. Speaking
one,
he's chayav one malchus for each sritah. Sora sritah achas al chamisha mes. Suppose he makes one sritah. Suppose he makes one gash in his skin, mourning for five different mesim. A chamish sritah al mesa. Chodu, he makes five gashes, all in mourning for one mess. Either way, chayav al kolachas achas, he will be chayav individual malchus for each one individually.
But not four.
What do you mean not four? If he did one sritah for five mesim, or five sritahs for one mess, either way, he will be chayav five malchus.
If he makes one,
then it would be four malchus. It's the number of mesim or the number of sritahs, whichever is greater. Al rosh, what do we mean that you're chayav about the payas of the head? You're chayav shtayim. Achas mikan v'achas mikan. You have two payas, one on each side. Meaning, in other words, if a person were to cut off both his payas, he would get two malchus.
We do that all
the time. We do that all the time. We don't cut off our payas for that season. We let we trim them, but we still have a certain minimum length of them. Again, up to the jawbone according to most of the poskim, up to the bottom of the ear according to the Rabban. You need a minimum width. The Rabban says you need 40 hairs at least. So as long as you have that appropriate length, we don't have a particular length. Look, it's 40 hairs. So once you have
number three is more what you should go.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So as long as you have that, now there is, by the way, there is, we're going to discuss later in the Mishnah, we're going to discuss about the beard, that you only chayv if you do it with a tar, only with a razor, not the malkit or the hitni, not with various other kinds of implements. There is a machoit that's when it comes to the payas that you're allowed to use a malkit or a hitni on them. So that would go into what you're talking about the length of the hairs. You have different opinions about it among the poskim. Practically speaking, that's why we just do it. We cut them short. We cut them short over the scissors, but we don't cut them too close to the skin in order not to have a problem with that. we still leave a decent length of each individual hair. There are parts you actually will also talk about that you're not allowed to pull out any hairs from, or two hairs at least from it, which actually leads to an interesting thing. Rabbi Akiva Eger asked by the Chassam Sofer, who was his son-in-law, he asked, so how do we have then? How do we comb our hair? So aren't we concerned about pulling out hairs? And essentially the Chassam Sofer says, because those are two different corners, one, not to cut it too close to the skin, and two, not to pull out hairs. To go so far as to say, therefore, that you can't even comb them or brush them or whatever, that's going too far. That's too many corners. We don't need to worry about that level of corner. And he mentions, for example, he said, my grandmother of Nathan Adler wasn't concerned about it, and then, well, obviously, there must not be a problem with it. Okay. Anyway, that's chaos. I was wondering, what does it mean with the beard? What do you tie it for? There's five parts of the beard that you tie it for. Stein, Mikan, Stein, Mikan, Vakas, Milamasa. You have two on one side, two on the other side, and one below. Now, you have a vast number of opinions among the Rishonim what those five spots are. So, as a matter of fact, over here I have. I'm not sure I used contrasting enough colors, but you can see there's a number of different opinions what those five are. Most of the Rishonim say, for example, that two of them are right below the payas, where the beard starts growing. And then
how long
is that? Right under the payas? Yeah, right under, from where the payas begin. Is from where the diagram is not, it's not showing a yid payas, but whatever, you get the idea. Wherever the payas end, most of the poskim say is where the beard begins. That's one of the five spots is there on the right side and one on the left side. But you have, and then they talk about different other possibilities. Most of the poskim hold that one of them is on the chin. But you have, for example, I think Rabbeinu Hananel, who says it means the area underneath it. And in fact, the Rosh brings, it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, that to be on the safe side, maybe you shouldn't be shaving the area under the chin either.
The chin is here.
But under it, meaning it's like this, closer. Well, for one, first of all, because you have hair there. What do you mean? You have hair there.
On the chin. I said under,
meaning behind. Okay, behind it, I should say. Whatever you want to call it. So you have the Rosh mentions that you shouldn't do that. Apparently based on Rabbeinu Hananel over here, you have the Taz says over there, maybe it's not a problem, maybe even if we don't hold of the opinion of the Rosh, still the problem is if you're shaving over here, you're very likely to accidentally pull in hair from the actual chin. And again, according to most of the post-skin, that is one of the five spots. And then you have different other opinions where some of the other spots are. Are they over here next to the corners of the mustache? Are they over here by the back of the jaw? You have a variety of different opinions. And for that reason, in Shulchan Aruch, it says, Don't be using a razor on your beard b'chlal anywhere, because you don't know, because it's not so clear where the five spots are.
Does that mean
scissors?
Yes, but
scissors will talk about
it. When
I say razors, I'm on a towel, the kind of razor they have in the time of the Gemara, a blade razor. Yeah. The kind of shaver that they have nowadays we'll discuss with. Okay, so those are the five. So the Tanakhama is saying that with the beard, if a person were to shave his entire beard, he would get five malchus, so there are five areas that he's chayav for. Rabbi Eliezer says if you do it all at once, then you only chayav one malchus.
One after the other, you can't do it
all at once. One after the other, but in other words, yeah. Furthermore, you only chayav the beard with a tar, with a razor. Even if you pulled it or cut it with a malkit or a hitni, you're chayv. There's a few different opinions among the Rishonim what a malkit and a hitni are. Does it mean something like a file or a plane or something like you'd use for woodworking? Does it mean something maybe like a tweezers? Different opinions about it. It also depends on the question.
Not
what
scissors.
Scissors we'll talk about in the Gemara. That's something else. But malkit or a hitni apparently is not scissors, right? Rabbi Eliezer is saying that if you did it with malkit or hitni, you'd be chayev. The Chachamim disagree with him and say only tar. There's a few different possibilities what it means to do, what the problem is with the tar anyway. Is it that it does too close to the skin? Is it maybe that it actually pulls the hairs out all the way to the roots? Is it maybe that it just gets the hair too short? Whatever. Okay, turn it up on. We learn it a braisa.
When you say the first thing in the mission, we said a kereach kocha b'roshet, that somebody makes a bald spot on his head in mourning for that. Now, you have two different places where the Torah says it's different. One is in Parshas Emor, it's addressed to the Torah, and the people who come from it, somebody will not make a kocha on And the other one is addressed to the Jewish people collectively, both the people kofa ben yenechem will make. Don't make the kofa between your eyes, where ben yenechem has the same meaning as it does.
Like tefillin, meaning because you don't have hair between your eyes, most people don't. It means directly above that spot over here. Lomais for a dead person.
So each of the two psukim, the one addressed to the Kohenim and the one addressed to the Jewish people, they're giving different details. In order to explain how we count, how we heard the entire halacha,
combining those two psukim together. When the Pasuk says lo yikruchu, when the Pasuk says they shouldn't make a bald spot, if you only had that Pasuk, you would think no matter how many karchas you make, you should only be chayav one malchus. Therefore, the Pasuk continues, not just with the word lo yikruchu, they should not make a bald spot, but it continues with the word karcha.
Lo yikruchu means they should not make bald.
Karcha means a bald spot. So by adding the word karcha, which otherwise we wouldn't have needed, l'chayev, akol karcha v'karcha, that teaches us that you chayev individually for each karcha, for each bald spot.
So
then,
the size.
The size we'll get to on the base. Wait.
Next we have to ask, why does the prophet have to continue mentioning on their head? Now, the Rivan says that actually that's not really the question. And of course we need to say on their head, otherwise we would think it applies anywhere on your body. The real question is,
what do we mean when we say the entire head, given that we have a different pasuk that says Bene Nechem?
So, what does it mean? The Gersha Matamabana. In other words, Matamabana does not mean the Rivan saying, like it usually does, why does the pasuk have to say Gersha? It means, what do we learn from the word Gersha
in this pasuk? It means like this. What we learn is as follows. Lefi shenema loisis goyderu v'leisis simo kocha bein enechem l'meis. Since the pasuk says elsewhere in Parshas Re'eh, addressed to the entire Jewish people, you should not tis goyderu, you shouldn't cut your skin, for a mess or for avodah zarah, as we'll talk about later. V'leisis simo kocha bein...
That's just for anything else.
No. Well, for anything else, we'll see. V'leisis simo kocha bein enechem l'meis, and you're not allowed to make a bald spot between your eyes for a mess. So if you only had that pasuk, you would think you only chayev for the area between your eyes. So okay, between your eyes doesn't mean the bridge of your nose. Most people don't have hair there. But it would mean the same area as you put tefillin shel rosh on, above the area between your eyes. You would think from that pasuk you only chayev if you rip out the hair over there. Minayin l'rabes kol rosh. How do we know to include the whole rest of the head?
Hello.
How do we know to include the whole rest of the head? Tamad lema b'roshem. That is why we have the pasuk addressed to the kohenim that says the word b'roshem. L'rab is kol rosh, which comes to include, therefore, the entire head.
So why do we need two psukim?
Wait, the ein li ela b'kohenim shiriba b'hanak kosim mitzvah z'seiris. Fine, but if you only had the pasuk in Parshas Emor, which says b'roshem, the head collectively, maybe that only applies to kohenim, who have other extra special mitzvahs. So you would say, okay, a kohen who has other special mitzvahs not to become tamei, for example, he's not allowed to make a korcha anywhere on his head. Maybe Yisrael not. Yisrael minayin. How do we know the same din applies to a Yisrael, that he does it anywhere on his head, he will be equally chayev? The reason is we make a gzeira shava. Nema kan korcha, v'nema lahalan korcha. Because by the kohenim it says korcha, lo yikuchu korcha b'roshem. By the Yisrael it also says, lo yisimu korcha, bein enechem l'meis. Putting it together.
Meaning in both places.
Yeah, but it means, in other words, that we learn from each one, we learn a detail that the other one doesn't have. Malahalam chayav akokocha v'kocha. Just like, first of all, by the Kohenim, the word korcha, first of all, the word korcha is extra, and it teaches us that you chayav, as we said before, individually for each korcha. And number two, v'chayav al rosh kebeinayim. Number two, by the Kohenim, it spells out v'rosham, meaning that it applies to the entire head. So that applies to Kohenim. Afkan, so also by the Yisrael, since you have the same word korcha, and we make the Zeta Shava, chayav akol korcha v'korcha, same thing, you have a chiyuv individually for each korcha, for each spot, v'chayav al rosh kebeinayim, and second of all, you'll be chayav for the entire head, just like beinayim. So that we learn from the Kohenim to the Yisrael.
What do we learn from the Yisrael to the Kohenim? Just like by the Yisrael, only if you do it. It,
because of a mess, because the pasuk spells out over there, like the simul korcha bein enechem lameis. If you were to do a korcha for some other reason, you would not be chayav malchus. Afkan al mess, the same thing. When it's addressed to the kohenim in Parshas Emor, it also means specifically for a mess. So we learn each one has a detail that the other one does not, and we make the zeta shava, and we learn and we put all the details together.
So
both the Yisrael and kohenim, if you don't do it for a mess, you're not chayav. On the other hand, you chayav individually for each korcha. And also, you chayev wherever on the head the korcha is, not just bein enechem.
Interesting that at first, the Parshas Emor looks like it is a covering. I wonder if there's a deeper meaning to that.
Well, I mean, the reason why is so we have the Torah mentions it by Jewish people in general, and then it says specifically by Kohenim, you should be Kaddish to the Eibishter, therefore don't be doing that. I seem to remember, it's a while since I've seen it, but I think Rav Shamshon of Baal Hirsch says a vote on it, that the reason why the Torah stresses it by Kohenim is because the Torah wants to make it very clear that the Kohenim, even more so than the rest of the Jewish people, should have nothing to do with Mesim and have nothing to do, the same way as we say they're not allowed to become Tomei Mes. The same way, for example, don't be involved in cutting yourself or tearing your flesh or tearing out your hair or whatever because of Mesim, because you Kohenim are supposed to have nothing to do with Mesim. You're there for the life of the Jewish people, not for the death of them.
Oh, and did we have in maybe?
Well, we're not also for that.
No, but the Kohenim might not have nothing to do with it.
We learned in Sanhedrin that Rabbi Akiva tore his flesh when Rabbi Eliezer passed away. Yes, Tosfos talks about it over there. One thing is,
I was absent then.
Okay, I was also actually absent then, but yeah. Anyway, Tosfos discusses it over there. One thing Tosfos says is that maybe we're only saying Yechayev if it's in the presence of the mess. This was after the burial already, because this was on Motzei, Rabbi Eliezer, we said they passed away Erev Shabbos, and the Pashtus, they buried him before Shabbos. This is Motzei Shabbos, Rabbi Akiva did this. Second of all, it might have been he's not doing it as mourning for the mess, but rather mourning for the Torah of Rabbi Eliezer that has been lost. As we have to learn in the Gemara over there, that Rabbi Eliezer himself said, there's so much Torah that I knew that I never had a chance to teach, because nobody asked me about it. So therefore, to be doing it in mourning for the Torah, that would be allowed. It's only in mourning for a mess that's not allowed.
Okay. Which is bad.
Right.
But
that was a karpa, that was Zidya, that was Srita. That's another thing Tosfos answers. Sorry, there's another thing Tosfos answers that the Gemara doesn't say over there that he did Srita, that he scrapped, that he did. It says Makib of Sori, he was like sitting himself until the water flowed. That's not the same thing. Zidya and Srita that we're going to talk about over here is making, well, we're going to see in the Gemara, it can be by hand also, but it involves making a gash or a cut or whatever in the skin with your nails or whatever, yeah, not sitting, yeah. Okay. When we say in the Mishnah, and we just learned in the Braita as well, that if you do four or five krichos, you're chayev individually, you're chayev malchus for each one individually. Hey chidami, what is the scenario? Are we talking about you did them one after the other with a chomesh asroi, and each one there was asra, so they told you don't do that krichos, if you do, you're going to be chayev malchus, and he does one krichos. Mm-hmm. Then they tell him again, don't do another one, if you do, you're going to be chayev malchus, and he does another one. Shita, obviously, gets five malchus, it's separate asroi. Ela b'chada hasra. We have to say evidently that's talking about one hasra for all the five. The Rivan brings over here that there was a girsa b'vasachas that we're talking about that he did all five of them b'vasachas. He says the Gemara was going to discuss soon how that's possible, but he says we're not girdis that over here. Here we just say he says that we're talking about, let's say they gave him hasra and then he did one karchas, two karchas, three karchas, four karchas, etc. One after the other. Tosfos has a long discussion about that over here and says that actually it's not so simple in that case. It might depend whether they constitute one big korcha, whether they end up making one big bald area or whether they end up making separate bald areas. In other words, would it be, if we're going to say that he does it one after the other, like the Rivan says, does it mean first he does one here, then he does one here, then he does one here, etc., so that by the time he's done, he has one big bold patch that he did in five different groups? Maybe that wouldn't make him chayav five malchus. Maybe it would only make him chayav five malchus if it's one here, one here, one here, etc., where there's hair in between one and the next. Okay, anyway. So the question is, if he does it with one hasra, mimachayev, how do you say that he's chayev malchus individually for each one?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not. But we learn in a Mishnah, the next Mishnah, you should, on the face of it, he should have one malchus. We're going to learn later on Chaf Aleph. Nazir shoyeshoyse yayin kol hayom. If a nazir was drinking wine throughout the day, ain't a chayev alachas. He's only chayev one malchus. On the other hand, omrulay al tishte. Each time, for every revius, they tell him, don't drink. And then he continues drinking. Chayiv akolachas vachas. He'll be chayiv individually for each one. Avasarah, yeah. So how can you say over here that if there was one hasarah, you should be chayiv five malchus? The answer is lo tzricha, yes. But the reason why we have to say it is the scenario, the soch chomeshet ba'ot of nasha. Suppose that he smeared his five fingers with nasha, which is some kind of hair removal cream, and then he put them all on his head at one time. So now the hasra is for each one individually. So since he's doing it all at once, in other words, the Rivan says, you can't say the hasra applies more to one versus to the other. And Tosfos then says, since they're all five distinctly different areas, then you can say each one counts as a separate thing. As opposed to, again, if he were to bunch his fingers together and do it like that, maybe not. Maybe he wouldn't get five malchus for that. But like this, where it's five spread out like this, yes, he can be five malchus for that.
That's bad news for him.
Yeah. Okay. The kama shiur karcha, so now getting to your question, how large does the karcha have to be in order to be chayiv? So you have different opinions. Rav Huna Amar Kadesh Yerom Erosho. Rav Huna says it has to be big enough that you will see some of his scalp exposed. Which, by the way, the Ritva says it's not so clear. Does that mean Lekula or Lechumra? Does it mean that you would see it exposed if you were to look carefully? Or does it mean only if you're looking from a... No, how close do you have to be looking? I mean, does he have long hair? Does he have thick hair or thin hair, for example? But also, yeah, if he pulls out one or two hairs, for example, you might only notice a bald patch if you looked closely. Is that enough to be Mechayev him according to Rav Huna? Or maybe does it mean if you looked at him from a normal viewing distance? Okay. Anyway, that's one opinion. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Mishumar Belazer Rabbi Shimon Kigris. Rabbi Yochanan says in the name of Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon, the size that you need in order to be chayev is a gris. A gris is a type of bean. A gris is a type of bean. We use it in there's different sizes of beans. We use the concept of a gris in a number of areas of halacha. The Gemara is going to mention in a minute, we use it in connection with the name of Sarah, we use it in connection with the name of Nida.
It's actually a squarish bean.
The Gemara defines the Mishnah rather in the Goyim defines it as the space as a square where each side of that square is the area in which six hairs can grow on the average person's skin.
That's big.
So it's not particularly big, but it's not
hair that
hair is like on a person's arm or whatever. We don't mean hair on the head. We mean hair like a human body hair or whatever, which is a little sparser. So there's a variety of different opinions among the poskim, because again, it's Negea as far as Hilchos Nida, what the size of a gris is. You have some poskim, I think Rav Moshe Feinstein says, for example, that it's about the size of a penny. The Alter Rebbe seems to say it's more the size of a dime, and possibly even smaller. You have a few different understandings of what the Alter Rebbe's opinion is. That's the opinion that it may even be smaller than a dime, but whatever, it's definitely smaller than a penny, according to Albert Ebbett. Anyway.
A penny is not so much bigger than a dime.
It's somewhat bigger, though. It's somewhat bigger, yeah. Anyway, okay. So that's the second opinion, is kigris. Okay, the Gemara says kitanoi. This is like a machlokas tanoim. Kamashi or korcha kigris. What is the minimum size of a korcha to be chayev malchus? Is a gris. Acherim oimrim. And then you have the acherim, which usually means your mayor says. Kadesh Yiroh Meroshe, enough that you can see part of his head uncovered, which is the same as Rav Huna.
Okay, we don't know the distance.
Again, we don't know the distance. Omer Rav Yehuda Bar Chaviva, so now Rav Yehuda Bar Chaviva says, Pligi Bat Tlosa Tanoi, you actually have three Tanoim who argue on this. Chad Omer Kagris, one says that the size of the gris, we just said, Vachad Omer Kadesh Yiroh Meroshe, a second one says that it's enough that you can see some of his head, that some of his scalp uncovered. Vachad Omer Kishtei Cyrus, and then you have a third opinion that if you pull out even two hairs is enough to make him chayav.
Two hairs? How would you?
Two hairs. What even? How do you know? If they gave him asra and then he pulled out two hairs.
No, but.
The ikad demakik shtei sidus ma'ayo b'kadosha. Then you have a different version that says it's not three different opinions. That says not the third opinion is shtei sidus, but rather a different version is that the third opinion is kadosha, is the size of a lentil. Which is smaller than a gris. A gris, the definition is 6 by 6 hairs. Mm-hmm. And adosha, the definition is 2 by 2 hairs.
Okay, lentil.
A lentil is much smaller than a gris.
A gris is like a dime.
A gris is, again, according to the Alter Rebbe, it may be a dime or smaller.
But we don't know what kind of coin the Alter Rebbe had.
So that's the thing. The Alter Rebbe refers to a coin called a pisachak or something, or a Russian coin of that period, but the size of that coin fluctuated at different times, so it's not 100% clear which size the Alter Rebbe meant. But anyway, yeah. Again, the Alter Rebbe Feinstein says, anyway, it's bigger, it's the size of a penny. Okay. So a kadosha is smaller. A kadosha, a lentil, we all know what size lentils are. It's defined in halacha as the area of 2 by 2 hairs.
5 pence. What is that? Small okay. British coin.
That falls on the head also?
This is talking about on the head.
And the beard?
No. You were talking about a korcha. You were talking about how large does the korcha have to be.
But the korcha cannot be in the beard.
So the korcha, when we said it, beroisha, we said it's on his head. I think there are Rishonim actually who say that it may also apply if a person does it on his beard, Lames. But Roshe would just mean anywhere on his head where there's a collection of hair. I think there's different opinions about that. Fine, according to that opinion, yes. I'm not so sure about that. Okay. All right. The Simonach, a way to remember this that you're saying that now, according to this last version, you have three opinions. Kigris, Shiro Miroshai, and Kadosha, what's a way to remember that you're not taking out Kigris? The Simonach, a way to remember it is Baheres Kigris, Michya Bakadosha. You have the word Gris and the word Adosha come together in the Dinim of Tzaraas. You have the minimum size of a Baheres, of a spot of Tzaraas, is like a Gris. The minimum size of a michya, of an area of healthy-looking skin in the middle of it, that would make it that tzaraas is tamei mochlat, that you're definitely tamei, and you have to be sent outside the city, is kadosha. So you see that kigris and kadosha go together, so that'll help you remember that when you're saying that you're taking out one of the opinions, you're not taking out the opinion kigris, you're taking out the opinion kishtei tzaraas and replacing it with kadosha. Yeah, there's a different girsa that some of the Rishonim have that what we're doing actually is that fakir. We are taking out kadosha and we are taking out kigris according to this version and replacing it with kadosha. And the way to remember it is you start out with a tzaraas and later on a michya develops in it and it becomes definitively tamei. The same way as like the gris, so to speak, is replaced by the kadosha. Okay. Anyway, so those are the different opinions as far as the size. The halacha in Shulchan Aruch is kigris. So you have to do a kocha of kigris in order to be chayv malchus.
So a dime, basically.
So a dime or a little bit smaller. Yeah. Okay. Since we're talking about that, so a related thing, Tana, we learned in a braisa, hanoto maloi pi azug b'shabbos, if somebody cuts hair on Shabbos, the amount that goes at the edge of a pair of scissors, chayv, then he's chayv. He's chayv chatas. Piazug, the amount that would go into the tips of a
pair of scissors.
Yeah, zug is a pair, meaning a scissors. Yeah, the kama maloi piazug. What is considered maloi piazug? Shai, mean two hairs. Rabbi Eliezer ema achas. Rabbi Eliezer says even one hair. So according to him, you cut even one hair on Shabbos, you chayv chatos or kores of skila or what have you. Umoidim chachamim l'Rabbi Eliezer. Now the chachamim do agree with Rabbi Eliezer that there is a case where you chayev for only one, namely b'malakat levonis l'terech shchoris. If you're cutting out white hairs from among black hairs, afilu achas, even if it's one, shu chayev, because then you have a different thing. Mela, when you regular hair cutting in order to be chayev for goizes, you need two because less than two is not really considered significant. But if you're cutting out white hairs in order that you shouldn't look so old, a person would do that even if there's only one individual white hair.
I don't think I got too much to do.
Fine, but a person who's only starting to develop white hair might well pick out one white hair in order that he still looks young. So therefore, that has a significance on Shabbos. And actually, the dove is actually the chol. Well, no, that's what we're saying. The chacham do agree with that. They're saying regular hair cutting, you need two to be chayav. Unlike Rabbi Eliezer says one. But when it comes to cutting one white hair, that everybody agrees.
Rabbi Eliezer is the most machmir on both things.
Actually, Tosfos does point out that you still would have, that would still be subject to a different machloikas tanarim. Huh. Namely, you have a machloikas in Shabbos in a number of places, whether if you do a malacha she'en etzricha legufa, are you chayav for it? Malacha shenet tzricha legufa means you're doing a malacha, but you don't need the actual object on which you did the malacha. You did the malacha sort of for the side effect that it produces.
Uh-huh.
An example of it would be, let's say for example, you have the one example is you have the malacha of chaver of putting out a fire on Shabbos. Now you could have a variety of the reason why they did that malacha in the Mishkan was in order to produce charcoal that then they could use for metalworking. So if you're putting out a fire in order to produce charcoal, for sure you're chayav. Everybody agrees to that.
And
what if you're putting, if that's tzricha legufa, that's because you need the charcoal. What about, for example, though, you're putting out a fire for a different reason? Because you're done cooking, for example, or because you don't want the container to break or whatever. That would be a malacha shein tzricha legufa, and it's machlokas in Shabbos over there. If you're chayav chatas or malkus or skila or what have you for such a thing. Or Gemara that's saying that everybody will agree that if you're cutting out white hairs from black hairs, you'll be chayav for even one, that would only work according to Rabbi Yehuda. That malacha shein tzricha legufa, you're chayav for. Because according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon and whoever else it is over there, you wouldn't because you don't need the actual white hair. The malacha of goizes would be, for example, you're shearing a sheep because you want to use the wool. Here you're not shearing it. Here you're not cutting out the hair because you want the white hair. Yeah. Okay.
But the halacha is
indeed like Rabbi Yehuda. That malacha shein tzricha legufa chayav. Okay. So actually, this kind of thing, to cut out a white hair from among black hairs, is also on, even on weekdays for a man. Because the pasuk says that a man should not wear women's clothes, which also means, as we learned back in Nazir, it also means doing other kinds of things that to adorn oneself the way that women do, and then that kind of thing, to pull out white hairs from among black ones, is something that women do to make themselves attractive. Therefore, a man is also to do it. Reminds me, by the way, when we were talking about before, about cutting the hair behind the chin, by the neck over there, another reason besides all the reasons that we mentioned about the five corners, the Taz mentions from the back over there, another reason why it might be also, because again, you have the same problem, you're defilating like the way that women do.
So that would be different. And if a woman has so much hair, she has to shave even on her neck.
Fine, but the point still remains that women regularly remove their body hair, whereas men don't. Okay, fine. All right. Then we said in the Mishnah of our Makif Pas Rosh HaBachola, we said in the Mishnah somebody who rounds the corners of his head, which again means he cuts off his payas. So, Tanan Abanan, we learned in a Braisa, so let's get into the details. Pas Rosh HaBachola means Sof Rosh HaBachola. Pas Rosh HaBachola, when the Pasuk says you have to leave the corners of your head, means Sof Rosh HaBachola, means the ends of your head. There's no Sof Rosh HaBachola, what is considered the ends of your head. Means that he makes the hair on his temples be in a straight line with the hair behind his ears and the hair by his forehead. Meaning again, you have by your forehead, the hair only goes to here, it doesn't go below that. Above your ear, the same thing, it goes up here. So you have in between them, the hair dips down. Fine, but the point, that's what we're saying. We're mentioning specifically these two things. So if you were to cut the payah,
right.
If you were to cut the payah straight across, so that there's no hair. So that there's no hair below it. That's what we're talking about. That's what you'd be chai for.
Even if
you
grow your hair later.
Okay, but at the time you're chai
all the way to the skin.
So again, right. So that's what I was mentioning before about you have different opinions among the rishonim. Are you only chai if you did it for tar? Are you even chai if you did it for malkut or rehitni? As long as it's fairly close to the skin, right? So if you don't do it anywhere near close to the skin, then you are allowed to trim it, which is what we do.
What's close to the skin?
In general, in halacha, the definition of a hair for most purposes in halacha is if it's long enough that you could bend it and get the tip to touch the base of it. So as long as the hair is a hair, or at least as long as that, you would be able to do that. You'd be able to take the hair with the tweezers and bend it so the tip touches the root. Then for sure you're good.
So that should be maybe
a couple of millimeters. That's probably what Aaron was saying before, that when you get your payas cut, you shouldn't go closer than a 3. Okay. Yeah, because that would be the same.
Okay. Seeing the skin would not necessarily be making you higher.
So again, you have the Rambam says that he has a Kabbalah from his Rebbeim, that the minimum size of the payah is 40 hairs, meaning a course.
Right.
40 hairs across. Right. Some of the Mephoshim say actually the reason for that is because that makes the size of a gris, as we were discussing before, because on the body, hair grows further apart. So a gris is 6 hairs. Right. In the payas, they grow closer together. So you need 40 to make the same gris. Okay. Tani Tana Kamed Rav Chisda. Tana taught the following braisa in front of Rav Chisda. Echad ha-makif ve-echad ha-nikif loite. Whether you're a makif, whether you're cutting off somebody else's payas, or the echad nikaf, or if you're the one whose payas are being cut off, either way, loika, either way, you get mal. Amalei, so the chista says, what? It's like the expression, man da ochel tamri ba'arba lalaki. Are you going to tell me that somebody who eats dates out of a sieve gets malchus? In other words, the makif, mele, he did something wrong. What did the nikaf do wrong? He's passive.
What's the example?
So the Rivan just says it's like an expression, like what did he do wrong? It's like there's nothing wrong in eating dates out of a sieve. The same thing. The Nikaf didn't do anything wrong. The Ritva says the vote is like this. Let's say, for example, imagine you had Reuven picked dates on Yom Tov. Fine, he's going to get malchus for it.
Right.
But let's say now he put those dates in a sieve or a container or whatever, and Shimon ate them from there. Are you going to say Shimon is going to be chayav malchus? No. So then, by the same logic over here, the Makif did something. Maybe Midrabon or not, but at least Midaraisa, sure.
Midaraisa, there's no problem.
Yeah. And even if you're going to say Midrabon, that's also true. He's not going to get a Malkus for it. So that's the question. In other words, if you're telling me the Makif is high of Malkus, why should the Nikif? Okay, even fine, you could argue maybe the Nikif is involved in something that's also, but what kind of Malkus? Da'amalach mani. So Rav Chista continues. Who must have told you this braisa? In other words, this this braisa that you're saying must be going according to the following opinion. Rav Yehuda, it must be going according to Rav Yehuda. Da'amalav shein remaisa loikin olav. Evidently, it's going according to Rav Yehuda, who says that even if you're over on a lav, even if there's no maisa involved, you still get malchus. So therefore, we would say like this: that loisakifu past roishchem doesn't just mean don't do it actively. It would also mean don't allow it to be done to you passively. Or the Rivan, so therefore it would be Nikkat as well. Or the Rivan says another reason might be, since the Pasuk says it in the plural, loisakifu pas roshchem, then it means talking about both the shaver and the shavy, both the doer and the recipient. But that could only work according to Rav Yehuda, because the recipient is the lav shein b'maisa. So therefore, in other words, Rav Chista is saying, this braisa that you're saying can't really be correct lahalacha.
It can only be like
Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbi Yehuda. Rava Omar, on the other hand, Rava says you don't need to say it that way. The Makiflas, maybe different hackle. You could say the Braisa is talking about somebody who cut off his own payas. The point of the Braisa would be, therefore, that he's chayav twice, once for being the Makif and once for being the Nissa. Then you can't say there's no Maisa involved because he himself is doing it. So that would be like Sakipo, would mean he's chayav on both.
As a market fan,
as a nikah. So therefore, with different hackle, that would work according to everybody. Even the Hanan would agree with that. Rav Ashi says another answer. The Messiah, the different hackle. Another possibility is it's not even talking about the same person. It could be two different people. But the nikah is Messiah. He's helping in the sense of turning his head this way or that so that the guy can do a good job or whatever. So therefore, that's considered a maisa. Therefore, you could say that he's chayav malchus for that as well.
Even if it's not according to Rabbi Yehuda.
Even we don't even need to say according to Rabbi Yehuda, exactly. Okay. Then we said in the mission of Amashkes Pas the Kone, we said somebody who destroys the corners of his beard. Turn on and Pas the Kone, Sof the Kone. What does Pas the Kone mean? It means the end of the beard. Vezo, Sof the Kone. What is the end of the beard? Shibolos the Kone. It means the Shibolos of his beard. Shibolos literally means like an ear of grain. So it means that it means where the hair, like a tuft, like where you have a large collection of hair, in other words. So all those five spots, according to all the different opinions, is an area where you have a thick growth of hair. In other words, as opposed to if you had a person, for example, who had, you know, some kind of mutant beard where it grows a few hairs, let's say over here, for example, that wouldn't be an issue. That for sure wouldn't be one of the five. The mustache, actually, everybody agrees the mustache is not included. All the different opinions that we said, even we had an opinion that I think it was the Rivan's opinion that said that two of them are the areas next to the corners of the mustache, like here and here, are considered two of the payas. But everybody, no, it does. You have a tuft of hair over here and here.
Okay.
Yes, but everybody agrees the mustache itself is not included. However, it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, but nevertheless, you shouldn't shave it off. It's not Minhag Yisrael to shave it off completely. We're not like the Amish, as you always see the pictures of them, where they have their mustaches shaved. We don't do that. What you do is you trim it to the extent that it interferes with you eating. You trim it, or you're allowed to trim it if it's getting in the way when you're eating soup. But other than that,
the women have the mustache?
No, they wear a bit of mustache.
Yeah, they're Amish.
I thought you said the women have the mustache.
Yeah. Come on.
We cannot talk so much.
Stop. I'll tell you, by the way, you know, what we always try to find as much as possible time and mitzvahs. I mean, we understand that all these mitzvahs are the Eibush that said so, and therefore that's it. There's no second guessing it. But nevertheless, there are different reasons that Rishonim and Achronim offer for these mitzvahs. But Amman says that the reason with all of them is basically because it's the way that the goyim did, and therefore we're not allowed to follow in their ways. So in fact, the Amman includes all these halachas in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, the halachas of Bdida and Svita and cutting off the payas and cutting off the beard or whatever. He includes them all in Hilchos Avodah Zarah.
That's the main source for the link to Avodah Zarah.
Oh, yeah.
I never knew that. I thought it was universal.
So the
Rambam people really didn't think of it as they just thought it was mitzvah.
Apparently not. And in fact, actually, in Shulchan Aruch, the Shach, I think, says that brings that after all. What do we need reasons for? The fact is, the mitzvah is a mitzvah. Whether the goyim do this or not, the mitzvah is a mitzvah either way. Anyway, I'll tell you, Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch has a vote about it. He says something like your jaws, are, your lower jaw, which is what is covered with a beard, is what you eat with. Therefore, in other words, like it's the animalistic part of you. You eat just like an animal. Therefore, the turtle wants it to be covered with a beard in order to demonstrate that you're a human being. You're not a behavior.
Oh, yeah.
Rav Sham Shneur Karl Hirsch says that. Whereas he says that's why the mitzvah doesn't apply to women. Practically speaking, usually they don't grow hair in that area, and even if they do, they are allowed to shave it off because women are less involved in public life and they're more refined in the first place, and therefore they don't need that kind of reminder. That they're human beings and not behemoths, whereas we men need that reminder. Yeah. Okay.
Well, goat does it.
Oh, generally they don't. Okay.
A goat.
A goat's fine. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah that somebody if somebody makes one srita, one gash in their skin for a mess, then they're chayev. And we said if they do five gashes for one, obviously. And we said you don't get them. And we said in the Mishnah that if you do five gashes, five srittas for one mess, or one gash for five mess, and either way you get five malchus. So let's learn the details about it. Turn it up on him. We learn in a b'risa. When the pasuk says v'seret, here also you have two different pesukim that discuss these dinim. One is in Parashat Kedoshim, seret lo nefesh le'sitnim v'sachim. Don't make a seret for a soul, for regarding a soul, meaning somebody that died. Don't make in your flesh. And then you have a different pasuk in Parashat Re'ei, lo'is tisgoydedu. You should not do tisgoydedu. We're going to discuss soon whether sritah and gdida are two different things or whether they're the same thing.
Okay.
So again, when the pasuk says v'seret, when the pasuk says that you shouldn't make a scratch or gash in your skin, you would think it means you chayev malchus, even if you did it out of grief over your house collapsed or your ship sank, a major financial loss, in other words. Therefore, the pasuk continues that you only chayev one nefesh if you did it because of a dead soul.
I wouldn't do it anyway.
Yeah, meaning ain't chayev el al mes lovad. You only chayev if you do it because of a mess. You do it for any other reason. It might be also, but it's not chayev malchus. Next, how do we know? Fine, Shmarta Mitzvah Seichem. Fine, you're Oivana Mitzvah Seichem, but you don't get Malchus for it. Malchus would be Dafka if you did it Lanesh. How do we know if you did five gashes, five scratches for one mess, how do we know you're going to be Chayiv individually for each one? Talmud Leimer V'Seret. Therefore, the Pasuk said, V'Seret. First of all, in other words, the Rivan says, number one, the Chlal didn't have to use the word seret. It could have said, hello, lo nefesh lo sisritu. For a nefesh, you should not gash. Why does it have to say the word v'seret in the first place? So from that, we have an extra limit. Second of all, the Rivan says, we also have the v'seret lo nefesh lo sisritu v'sarchem. So instead of using that long wording, a seret for a soul you should not make on your skin, instead the pasuk could have just said lo nefesh lo sisritu. For a soul you should not do seret. So the fact that it says this seret lo nefesh instead allows us to douse it another din that it's individually for each seret. Or another thing the Rivan says is because it says this seret with a vav, that gives us an extra reason to douse it. So therefore the chayev akos sritu or sritu. Therefore that teaches us you chayev individually for each sritu, for each gash. Rabbi Yossi says a different limud. Minayim l'masaret srita achas al hemesim. How do we know, conversely, if you make one srita? So we just said the Tanakhama was saying you made five sritas for one mess. Now Rabbi Yossi is going to talk about the other way around, which we also said in our Mishnah. Minayim l'masaret srita achas al hemesim. How do you know you make one gash for five mesim? Shuchayev akol achas v'achas. How do we know you chayev individually for each one? For each echad v'echad, really, for each individual mess. Therefore, the pasuk said that you're not allowed to make it one nefesh, l'chayiv, or kol nefesh menefesh, which means you chayiv individually for each nefesh that you did it because of. Question is, you just said the Tanakhama had said that the word l'nefesh teaches us you're only chayiv if you do it because of a dead person, out of grief for a dead person. You're not chayiv if you did it because your house collapsed or whatever. Rabbi Yossi apparently agrees with that, because after all, the pasuk says l'nefesh. So how can he also use the word l'nefesh for a different drasha that you get malchus individually for each nefesh? The answer is kasavar Rabbi Yossi sritah ugdida achasi, because Rabbi Yossi would hold that sritah and gdida mean the same thing. Again, we have our pasuk v'seret l'nefesh. We have a different pasuk in Parashat Re'ei loisis goydedu. Rabbi Yossi holds that those are two different names for the same thing. You could understand, which is how the Tanakhama is going to, and how we're going to say in a second a possibility. You could understand that maybe Srita primarily means doing it by hand, and gdida means primarily doing it with a tool, with an instrument.
How do you do it with
Yeah, you could have, for example, you do it with your fingernails, you scratch deeply, or you could have, you take a knife or whatever, and you make a cut. Rabbi Yossi, though, holds that it's not like that. Rabbi Yossi holds, Srita and Gdida is the same thing. Either one means that you do it by hand, or you do it with an instrument. So therefore, so you have an extra possible, Chivasim Lamed. When it comes to Boisus Goydidu, it also spells out that you're not allowed to do it Lamed. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi says, the fact that you Tanakhama are saying that you're only chayev if you do it for a mess, that I can learn from the pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. Veloisis go to do lames. Therefore, I have available the word lamnefesh from Parshas Kedoshim to teach us that it's also that if you do one srita, one gdida, which is the same thing according to him, for five different mesim, then you'll be chayiv individually for each one of those five. Whereas the Tanakhama, who holds that gdida and srita are two different things, he can't learn that way.
So you need for
according to Rabbi Yossi, Gdida and Srita are the same thing. You have two psukim that teach us essentially the same din,
right.
And therefore both of them mention about a dead person. One says l'nefesh, one says l'mes. Mm-hmm. So one teaches us that you only chayv if you do it for a mess, and the other one, says Rabbi Yossi, teaches us that if you do one Srita individually, that you do one Srita, but it was meant to represent five different mesim, then you chayv five times. Amar Shmuel, so now in this connection, Shmuel says, Hamasaret b'kli chayev, if somebody makes a srita with an instrument, with a knife, for example, then he's chayev. But he was a nesri. I have a contradiction. What do you mean, only Hamasaret? Why is he mentioning only Masaret? And why is he mentioning only a keli? Srita u'gdida achasi. We learn in a braisa that srita and gdida mean the same thing. Elash srita b'yad u'gdida b'kli. But the definition is that srita is that you do it with your hands, for example, with your nails, and gdida means that you do it with a keli. So now Shmuel, when Shmuel says hamasaret the kli, implies that srita can be done with a kli. But what do you mean? This braisa says that srita, the definition of srita, is that it's done with the hands. The answer is hudamak Rabbi Yossi. Shmuel is going according to Rabbi Yossi, who says that srita and gdida are the same thing. So therefore, he can be saying that if you do srita with a kli, don't think like the other tanoim that srita is only if you do it by hand, and therefore if you were to do srita with a keli, you would be potter. No, srita and gdida are the same thing, and therefore whether you do it by hand or with a keli, you're chayim.
So why would the Mishnah use two different words?
Why would the potter use two different words? So the Ravid actually wants to say the primary meaning, when you get down to it, the words, let's consider the meanings of the words. Srita literally means a scratch. Gdida actually means a cut. So therefore, primarily, gdida means a deeper cut than srita.
Yeah.
Usually, you would have, practically speaking, you would be able to accomplish gdida only with a keli. You would be able to accomplish srita, which is a superficial scratch, that you would be able to do by hand with your nails or whatever. But as far as halacha is concerned, as far as Rabbi Yossi's opinion, which is la halacha, there's no actual difference between them and halacha. Except with the exception of...
a scratch and a cut.
So we're saying, in other words, practically, there's a practical difference that a cut is deeper, and therefore usually you would need a keli for that. But as far as a matter of halacha, when it comes to doing it for a mess, there's no difference whether it's a superficial one that you did by hand, whether it's a superficial one that you did with a keli, or whether it's a deep one that you do with a keli. Practically speaking, you're not really going to be able to do a deep one by hand. But in any case, you'd be equally chayav.
It's the mess that counts.
Yes. However, now we have a case where there is a difference. Tani Tana Kamed Rav Yechanan, a Tana taught the following braisa in front of Rav Yechanan, Al Mes Ben Biyad Ben Bikli Chayev, if the person is doing the Srita or Gdida because out of mourning for a mess, then whether he does it by hand or with an instrument, he's Chayev. On the other hand, Al Avodas Techavim Biyad Chayev B'Keli Potter. On the other hand, there's another possibility that a person can be doing Gdida or Srita, that he's doing it in honor of Avodah Zarah. Meaning, in other words, the Rivan says, there are certain kinds of Avodah Zarah where the normal type of worship for it was that people would injure themselves, that people would cut, or injure themselves. So therefore, if he does it biyad, that biyad chayev, because that is the normal way of Avodah for it, and therefore the Rivan says that actually, there are certain kinds of Avodah Zarah where that is the Avodah for it, and we know, as we learned in Sanhedrin, that if you do a... That if you worship an Avodah Zarah in its normal way of being worshipped, then you're chayev skila. So therefore, if you do it for an Avodah Zarah, which is the normal way of doing it, then you're for sure chayev skila. And even if you do it for a different Avodah Zarah, where that's not the normal way of worshipping it, this is considered, you're chayev malchus, because you have malchus, because at least it is a type of avodah, and therefore it's similar to the Tosfos alludes to an idea that we talked about in Sanhedrin, that let's say, for example, you have different kinds of things that don't rise to the level of actual avodah zara. A person not chayv stila for them, but he would be chayv malchus, for example, hugging and kissing the getchke. If you have a particular getchke that the normal way of worshipping it is not to hug and kiss it, and a person goes and hugs it, he'd be chayv malchus, because that is a way of honoring it, even if it's not considered an actual way of worship for this particular getchke. So the same idea over here, to cut your skin by hand, to scratch or cut or whatever your skin by hand, is considered an act of honor or obeisance to an avodah zarah, and therefore if it's kedavka, you chayv stila, and even if it's shaloi kedavka, even if this particular avodah zarah isn't worshipped that way, you'd still get malchus. But the keli potter, but if you did it with a keli, you would be potter, because that's not a normal way of doing it. Okay, the question
unless,
is...
Unless it's a normal way.
Obviously, if it's a normal way. But we're talking about in general, there was no known of a disorder of that time where the normal way was doing it. The problem with that is, we have exactly the opposite in the pasuk. In the story of Eliyahu and the Nevi'i Abal and Harakamel, you have over there where they brought the Nevi'i Abal brought their korban, and nothing's happening. So they're dancing around the Mizbeach and jumping on it and whatever, and the pasuk says, Vayis goyderu k'mishpatam, they cut themselves as was their normal practice for Avodah Zarah, b'charoves v'ramachim, with swords and with spears. So we see, fakir, the normal way of doing it for a getchke is to do it with a keli. Ela'ema, so yeah, you have to flip around the braisa. Biyad potter b'keli chayim, the other way around. If you were to do it biyad, you would be potter because that's not a normal way of doing it to any known getchke. But if you do it b'keli, that is a normal way. So in the case of the Baal, it was a normal way of doing it, and you'd be chayim stila. In the case of other getchkes, it's not the normal way of doing it, but it is still considered an act of respect or obeisance or whatever to the avodah zarah. Or maybe it's like to, so to speak, like to make the avodah zarah pity you, like to should realize, look at this guy, he's bleeding all over the place, I should have rachmanos on him. Whatever it is, you'd be chayim malchus for that.
Haramim is what?
What do you mean haramim? But Haravah is a Varamachim. Haravah is swords, but Varamachim is spears. Spears, yeah. Then we said, the Chayav al Rosh. Then we said that a person is Chayav for cutting the payas of their head. And we said there's two, one on each side. Machvir Rav Sheshes ben Pirkei Reishis. So Rav Sheshes, when he was teaching this Mishnah and this Gemara, he demonstrated that it means between the joints of the head. Meaning, in other words, so where the jaw articulates with the head, which is about here. So therefore, that is the area of the payas. Or some of them are far from explained. The vote is you have the front of the head and the back of the head. Each of those is a payas, and therefore it's the area between the front and the back of the head.
Where the jaw articulates with the
skull is about here. That's the bump over here is that point. Where is that point is the joint between them.
Two areas.
Whatever, but you have that's the joint over there, and that's the area of the pace. Yeah. I mentioned before of Hirsch's reason that he gives behind the idea of wearing a beard. What? Well, so it's above that area, right? It's in that general vicinity. But the Rav Hirsch's explanation for why the idea behind wearing payas, he says, related to this idea of the two zones of the head. Basically, he says the back part of your head, the back part of your brain, has to do with the lower level parts of what a person does with their life, breathing and seeing and movement and whatever. The back part, more or less, the back half of your brain has to do with those. The front half of your brain has to do more with the human aspect, thinking and creativity and whatever, and therefore the Torah wants you to show that there's a separation between those two parts. Al-Derech, like when you wear a gautel to separate by wearing payas. Otherwise, if you were to cut the payas straight, then it would mean there's no difference between the front and the back. There's no difference between the parts of our brain that are human and the parts of our brain that are animalistic. This is Rav Shamshon Aparel Hirsch's explanation. So it's similar to the fact that we as Chassidim wear a gautel to separate the, well, it's not just a Chassidim, I mean, there's a halacha that you have to separate the heart from the erva. But it's a similar concept, in other words. Yeah. Okay. Then we said, Rav Zuck and Stein. Yes. That's halacha. So we do it by wearing a gautel. The Velt doesn't, because the Velt doesn't wear a gautel because they hold as long as you're wearing pants that are tight around your waist. That is enough.
As opposed to the
olden days when they just wore long flowing robes and not necessarily pants. Then you had to wear some kind of. Yeah. Okay. Then we said, we said by the beard, you have two on each side and one underneath. So again, Rav Sheshes would demonstrate that it means that the joints of the beard. And you have, again, the diagram that I was showing before that have those about five different opinions among the Rishonim what those five areas are. It's sort of color-coded, although not all of them are such contrasting colors, but you can see that there's a variety of different opinions where exactly those five areas are. There was a picture on the internet that's available. That shows these things. Okay. Then we said Rabbi Eliezer said if you cut off the whole beard at once, you only have one malchus. Because he holds it's all one lab, and therefore you can only get one malchus. As opposed to the Chachamim would say that you get individually for each payah. So therefore you cut off the five payahs and five malchus. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah,
that's why you say kind of a special tool.
No, that's what we're going to talk about now. The Eina Chayiv Achit Lenev Atar, we say you only chayiv if you cut it with a tar, with a razor. Turn it up on him, we learn in a braisa. So how do we know that? When the Pasuk says, by the again, you have a Pasuk addressed to the Kohanim in Parashas Emor, of ask the Kohanim lo yigalech, which says they should not shave the corners of their beard. So how do we know shaving means with a razor? Yachal afil gilchav b'misparayim yei chayiv. You would think even if you shave it with scissors, you should be chayiv. Close to the skin. Therefore, you have a different pasuk in Parashas Kedoshim addressed to the whole Jewish people that says don't destroy it. Scissors don't destroy because they don't go that close to the skin. Okay. But if you have only the words, you would think, therefore, maybe even if you cut it with a malkit or a hitni, the different opinions that we had, does it mean a file or a plane or tweezers or whatever, which go very close to the skin, you would think maybe it should be chayev, because that's hashchasa. Tamad Lema, lo yigalechu. Therefore, the pasuk says, by the kohanim lo yigalechu, they shouldn't shave. Shaving implies a razor. Okay, need both. You need shaving and tashchit. Okay, so giluach sheyesh v'ashchasa. In order to be chayiv, it has to be both giluach, shaving, and ashchasa, destroying. Heavy yom is a tar. The only thing that fits that criteria is tar, is a razor, meaning an actual blade. So now, with the shavers that they have nowadays, there are. You have various tarim that they're more similar to scissors because you have two different blades that are cutting or whatever. But you have, even with scissors, it says in Shulchan Aruch, you got to be careful, even if you're using scissors, basically don't be using the bottom blade because then you have a problem. That cuts very close to the skin. You can only use the top blade, and the shavers nowadays, you have certain kinds that they have a tarim for and certain kinds that would be similar to a tar of the Gemara that would be on.
And
so we're saying giluach involves shaving, meaning in other words, it's something normal, something that you usually shave with. You don't usually shave with a rehitni, which is, for example, a file or a plane or something, even though it does cut very close to the skin. It's not the normal thing to shave with. On the other hand, hashchasa implies that you're cutting close to the skin, which is not a scissor. The scissors doesn't cut that close. So the only way you have both, giluach, something that's normally used for shaving, and hashchasa, destroying, means that it has to be dafka razor. Okay, so then let's finish off. Rabbi Eliezer, I'm after the list of a malchus or a hitni, a chayev. Rabbi Eliezer says even if you use a malchus or a hitni, you would also be chayev. So the question is, manafshah. How does Rabbi Eliezer get that? If he accepts the gzeira shava that we just said between what it says about the Kohanim and what it says by Yisrael, libori tar, then he should require that you need a tar, just like the Tanakhama says. Guys, give us about 30 seconds, okay? And if Rabbi Eliezer does not hold of Gzeir Shava, then he should say that even if you do it with scissors, you should be chayiv. Why does he only say a malchus and a hitni, which cut very close to the skin? The answer is, well, he does use the Gzeir Shava, because he holds that a malchus or a hitni is called giluach. It is normal enough to use them for giluach, not necessarily a razor. You might conceivably use a file, or you might conceivably use a file or pliers or tweezers or whatever, and therefore that can be considered giluach. Whereas the Chachamim disagree and say giluach is only something that's universally used for shaving, which is a razor. So the halacha is like the Chachamim. Nevertheless, though, we have there's a different other considerations about cutting or shaving your beard. You have issues of chukas hagoyim, you have issues of lo yirash gever, and therefore that is why we don't touch our beards before.